invited my brother here, picked him up from the airport in Harrisburg the other day. Not really. We've been at the hospital constantly. Mom is critical. And she took a turn for the worse, and things are stable as they can be. And so my older brother decided to fly in and spend the time with us. And so we have some pretty heavy decisions ahead to make. So that's one of the prayer requests that I would have as well. Several weeks ago, I started a series through the book of Acts on prayer, and it's of no recourse that we go there to Acts chapter 4, so I invite you to please turn there. On the way back from picking Bob up, we had a conversation on prayer and about the power of prayer. And really, this is what it's about. And we were talking about the film called War Room. And I've mentioned that before and how encouraging that is and how much we need to certainly fortify ourselves with prayer and in our lives and in our church. And the necessity of the power of prayer, which really leads us to Acts chapter 4, where we see another incident, if I can put it that way, of the power of prayer. And so we're going to look at this whole chapter very quickly as I hopefully get through it. And we'll move our way through there. But if you remember, the couple weeks ago as I was here, we were talking about this, how the church began and how much prayer was so important in the local church, and it is. And that's why you're here tonight. That's why I'm here tonight, because we certainly need to pray for God's working. But during the beginning of the church, they knew it, and they knew it. And how exciting to see the expansion of the church in chapter 2, and the witness of the power of God through the Holy Spirit giving. And then Peter and John in chapter number 3, here they go. And it's actually, we're going to see the power of prayer, because they were used of the Lord to point this man who was healed, all right? And they pointed him to Jesus Christ, but he was healed through Christ. And many people think that Peter had some sort of power, but he mentions that it was of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And that's, of course, where we come to verse chapter 4, because the Sanhedrin, the powers of be, the powers of the church, all of a sudden hear about this. And they wonder what's going on, because they had heard of the Lord Jesus, and they felt that it was over with. But in chapter 4, they hear about this, and they're going to put an end to it. But we're also going to see how God takes them from this persecution to more prayer, and how God uses them. Verse 1, chapter 4, "And they spake unto the people, and the priests, and the captains, and to the Sadducees." You see, they're sad because they didn't believe in the resurrection. All right. "Being grieved that they taught the people preached through the resurrection." And there it is. All right. "And they laid hands on them and put them." And, of course, here they are. They're getting ready to put Peter and John in prison. And we'll end this whole mess. They basically, as they say that, "Howbeit many of them." Now, the very beginning of this, we're going to see that in this is a pattern for power. It's really a pattern for the power of prayer. You know, when you go through difficulties in your life, and you and I go through that, it's then when we need the power of prayer. Amen? We do. I've been doing a lot of talking with the Lord the last couple of days. Really. And asking God for wisdom, asking God to do something in mom's life and our life and our family's life. And I tell you, I believe that God brings you to that position for a reason. And he brought the church to a position for that reason. Here they were, these Peter and John, they were excited because they had been used of the Lord to bring this man, bring healing into this man, and to introduce him to the power of Jesus Christ. And on the backdrop of that, they are now going to be persecuted, and somehow they think that they're going to put him down. Well, let's look at it. Verse 5. And it came to pass the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John, all these individuals, all right, and when they set them, verse 7, in the midst, they said, by what power or what name have you done this? Oh, my word, can you believe it? They're asking, where's this power at? And what does Peter say? Well, I've got it. No, he doesn't. He says, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people, the elders of Israel, if we this day examine of the good deed done of the impotent man, by what means he hath made whole, be it known unto you all, that to all the people of Israel, and notice what he says, by the name of who? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then he goes on to tell these Sadducees, all right, you're the ones that put him to death, all right, and you crucified him, all right, this is it, you tried to put him out. God raised him from the dead. Folks, what is the gospel? What do people need to believe in order to be saved? That Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day. That power, and he says here the gospel to them, and says, be it known unto you, all the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus whom you crucified, God raised him, and even by him doth this man stand before you. Once again, he emphasizes the fact that a lot of people in churches in Christendom equate the power to heal to a man. It's to the man Christ Jesus. It's to God alone. And here he emphasizes it one more time. All right? And he says, and this is the stone which is set it by the builders, which you have become the head of the corner. Neither is there, and we see that great verse of salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And he's preaching. And so the power of prayer gave them this opportunity once more here. And notice what happens. Well, they get a hold of him. And verse 13, they say, well, we'll take care of this guy. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned, ignorant men, wow, are you kidding? Are you kidding? All right, this man Peter, they don't know what they're talking about. That they had, and notice what it says, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They noticed there was something different. And beholding the man which was standing by them, and this whole thing episode takes place because of that, all right? But when he had commanded them to go aside to the council and conferred with themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? What are we going to do, my vernacular? And that spread no further among the people. Very same thing that happened to the Lord Jesus. Very same thing that happened to any church. Very same thing that's happened in our lives. What are we going to do about these people that believe that God answers prayer? What are we going to do about these people that really believe that this is the word of God? That God is alive and God is doing these things? Well, it goes on. and you know the answer, and you know what happens. And they called them and commanded them that they should not do what? Don't tell anybody. So don't go preaching about this man, Jesus, because he's gone. But Peter and John answered them and said, whether it be right in the sight of God, hearken unto you, or unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so they had further threatened them. They let them go. And I believe that's the providence of God. They could have taken them and passed them in the prison. At this point, they said, we'll just let them go. They can go off and spout off and do anything they want. Hence we come to the power of prayer. The pattern for power is really in the persecution that takes place. Why are you going through what you're going through? What are you going? What's happening in your lives? What's happening in my life? What's happening in Bob's life? What's happening in our lives? All right? We feel that pressure, and so God brings us to that point. The acknowledgement that God is in charge. This is really what Peter was saying to them, all right? And he was being able to see that the pattern of that power was the fact that it was all of God, all right? And that the need for churches today, you and I, this church, is to realize that. But I mean to really grab hold of it. The acknowledgement that the persecution for the righteousness has always, always, will always take place. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus, Timothy would say, shall suffer persecution. You stand up for God, you go to prayer meeting, you come here and pray, all right? And you begin that pattern. Well, here it comes. Here it comes. And in this chapter, it is absolutely one. All right? In verse number 23, we're going on there. And they said in verse number 24, the man was above 40 years old when the miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported that the chief priests and elders had said unto them, and when they heard that, they melted. They ran. They hid under the rocks. They went. What did they do? They lifted up their voice with one accord unto the Lord and said, and this is great because here's the prayer. And this is the prayer that they uttered. And I'm telling you, this is powerful. And they said with one accord and said, now, if you want to pray the prayers of God, I've preached on praying the promises of God, but these are the prayers of God. He said, with one accord, all right, thou art God, that's acknowledgement, which hath made heaven and earth and the seas and all them therein, who has by the mouth of the servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and why did the people imagine a vain thing? That's taken directly out of Psalm 2. And kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers have gathered against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against the holy child Jesus, whom they have appointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate and Gentiles and the people of Israel, and gathered together to do whatsoever thy counsel determinate before thee. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And they're saying, Lord, they're after us. Ever felt persecuted? Ever turned around and said, they want to take us down. My brother was making, we were talking about this. And he was telling me about a time when he was leading a group of people to a school. He was teaching in a public school. And they surrounded the school and prayed for him, just like Jericho, right, Bob? That's what you said? And they even went into, and by the way, it was, what was it, cold? And you went into the school, and they went to the rooms inside the school, because he was a teacher, and he got in, he was able to get in there. And they prayed. And there was a great answer of prayer because of that. But that's the power of prayer. Notice what he says there. for to do whatsoever thy hand and the counsel determined it before has done. And now, Lord, behold the threatenings by stretching forth thine hand, verse 30, to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Wow, what a prayer. When's the last time you had somebody stand up and pray? I was in Bible school almost a century ago. Half a century, I don't know, 40 years ago or so. There was a man, he was a Bible school teacher. He was a Bible teacher. His name was John Benson. And that man could pray heaven down, if you know what I'm talking about. He would stand up in the back of the auditorium and his voice would boom, and I'm telling you, it'd be like you're in heaven. How many of you have heard John Van Gelderen pray? Ever been in the room with John Van Gelderen, the evangelist? And I'll tell you, sometimes there are individuals that can just get a hold of God, and they're praying the prayers of God and this. And that's what happened. But notice what happens. And when they had prayed, the place was what? Shaken where they were assembled. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were controlled again, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Folks, if you and I are going to be able to take the word of God and to preach the word of God, to witness, to help people to understand that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, we need to pray for that boldness. And God will give it to us. And that's exactly what took place. And the Bible continues on, and I tell you, this is exciting what happened. Verse 32, and the multitude of them believed, were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught which has possessed of their own. And with great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great graces upon him. Of course, if you know the history of the church and you know the history of what's taken place here, this is that transition book of the book of Acts, the very beginning of the church. The Lord Jesus had already ascended into heaven, and the Spirit of God was given, and this young church was there. Great things were happening, but the pattern was set. The pattern of prayer was absolutely set. You see, God answers prayer. Number one, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two, they were united. Look at that. They were united in heart. And then they had power to witness the resurrection, and they were able to do something. What happened? Well, notice at the end of this, it says, great power, great grace was upon them. Neither is any among them that lacked, for many were possessors of lands and houses and sold them, and great prices of them were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and the distribution was made according to it as that they had need. God used this church in a gracious way, and this group of people and the young church. And God has blessed this church, and God has blessed us in tremendous ways to be able to meet the needs of missionaries across the world here. But it starts here. It starts in prayer. It starts what we're here tonight for. And that pattern of acknowledging that the persecution was coming, but that specific petition was given. And the petition was asking God to do something beyond themselves. And that was to get the boldness to be able to preach the Lord Jesus Christ, his resurrection. They were really in a hard place there, because Peter and John were about to be arrested, and these were the leaders. And this is just chapter 4. you follow this pattern all the way through the book of Acts, and it's exciting as you read each chapter and you find out exactly how God took this church and moved it in a greater way. I really believe that the book of Acts, that the local church pattern happens right here. I think we've gotten away just a tiny bit from that. A tiny bit from that. Even in Christendom today. But the local church, people have gathered together. I'll tell you what. Another day in the government. And if you want to pray that God gets a hold of some people in our government, today's the day to pray that way. Because we've got people that are accusing again, and you don't know what's going to happen with our president. You don't know what's going to happen. But you know that God will prevail. Right? He will. And great power. And I'll tell you, that was exciting to see that. And these men could have couched and crawled underneath and gotten away and said, all right, come on, let's go off into the, you know, into the underground church and let's get away from the, they didn't. Because God opened it up. And God can do that in your life. He can do that in my life. Persecution for prayer. What a pattern for the power of God. I don't know. God answers prayer. That's Acts chapter 4. Next week, Lord willing, no. Next time I preach, I'll do chapter 5, then we'll keep right on going. I gave a whole bunch here, and I'll tell you, it's exciting as you get down through this. So, God bless you. I trust that that's encouraged you tonight.